Jesus, would you pray for me? Amen. Thank you. I like getting Edith to pray for me. Apologize to Dan. We'll talk about some of the things we talked about last night in Bible study. So, and if I'd have told you, you wouldn't have come tonight. So, scripture. We're doing a Song of Solomon on Tuesday night, a men's Bible study, and part of it last night was just the bride telling the Lord, hey, you know I love you, right? So that's where we're kind of going to start. And it's kind of a weird place that I say that, then we're going to start here. But I want to just show you in some scriptures of the upper room discourse and the conversation that Jesus had with Peter, and then an ending conversation at the end of John with him. And so you'll kind of see where I'm going. So we'll start in Luke 22. And some familiar verses here. I love how all the different Gospels, we get bits and pieces of the conversation that they had up there. This particular one, right after he took the cup, in verse 20, the cup is poured out for blood, he says, "Behold, the one who is betraying me is at hand," verse 21 of Luke 22. "For indeed the Son of Man is going, as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And then they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who's going to do this thing, who's going to betray him. There arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. After they're thinking, which one is going to betray me, then all of a sudden this conversation about which one of them is the greatest, right? I wonder which one of us is the greatest. Can you see how that just started? "And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. It is not the one who reclines, but the one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant it to you, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Cool. Then he says this to Simon, kind of right in this. It's the only place where it records it, but they're here at the table, right, just finishing. Then he leans over to, Peter was pretty close. John was leaning on him. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." That word demanded, it means he had to obtain my permission. So Satan has asked for my permission to sift you like wheat. And that word also is to ask that one be given up from one power of authority to another. So he asked for permission. And it's odd that that Simon's response was like the response we'll see. "But I pray for you that your faith may not fail you. But once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Totally not the response I would have had if he looked over at me, if I'd have been there and said, "Hey, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat." And I would have said, And you said, you know, no, of course, right? But this is not what Peter says. Listen to what he says. He said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times that you know me. Isn't that interesting? Lord, with you I'm ready to go to prison and death. Right? I'm going to say some things it doesn't say that he says, but as we see, and we'll read some more in Scripture, but he was kind of saying, well, the reason Satan's coming after me is because I'm the man. Everybody else will fall away, not me. Okay? Lord, I'm going to go to prison. I'll die with you. So that's why he's coming after me. Okay? Again, totally, I would have been like, panic, you know? Sadly, the enemy does ask permission sometimes, and he has to get permission to come against us, and sometimes the Lord says yes. So that's for another time. All right, now, over in John 13, we see this story again, a little more to it. I won't read as many scriptures, but I want you to see the very first thing he does in this upper room is he washes their feet, right? And in verse 7 of 13, verse 6, Simon Peter says to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You know? Surely not. And Jesus said to him, what I do to you, you do not realize now, but you'll understand later. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. You know? And he says, of course, if I do not wash you, you have no part. And then Peter says, wash all of it. Again, you see this thing rising up in him. You know, you'll never wash my feet. You know, and he says, understand. You're going to understand what I'm doing right now later because you're going to need it. Okay? He kind of leads it. Then they go, starting with the, again, in the upper room discourse when they're having the communion here. In verse 27. Satan enters into Judas and he says, what you do, do quickly. And then and they're having a conversation here. We'll start in 33. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me, as I said to the Jews. Now I also say to you, where I'm going you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me, but you'll follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Aren't you getting it, Jesus? You know, I'll lay down my life for you. Then he says to him, will you lay down your life for me? Truly I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. So, evidently, the second time he's saying this to him, right? He just said, Satan's going to come against you, demanded to sift you like wheat. I gave him permission. So Peter, again, you know, said, well, you know, the reason he's coming, I'm the man, and I'll go to prison and death with you. So he's having another conversation with him about, I'm going away. Peter jumps in there, I want to follow you. And he says, no. And then he's like, you don't understand, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll lay my life down for you. And then he says to him again, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. But he still doesn't get it. Okay? Now, over in the Gospel of, we're not going to read Mark, we're just going to do Matthew. We won't do every single verse. Mark and Matthew say almost identically the same thing. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 30. All right, after all this had happened, after they had had the first communion, they left. They leave the room. Okay, verse 30. After singing a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. As it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. This is, he's quoting the scripture out of Zechariah. The word fall away is a word used to set a snare or a trap. In other words, he was saying there's been a snare and a trap set for all of you tonight, and all of you want to step in it. But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Peter said to him, here we go again. Even though all may fall away, because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, read this third time. Truly I say to you, this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. Okay? But he said to him before that, Lord, look around you. You see all these guys? They're going to all scatter like you said. I won't deny you. I've told you I'm going to die. I will die with you. I'll go to prison for you. I'll lay down my life for you. Okay? I'm the man. They're not. See? They're a bunch of sissies, right? They're going to do this. Can't you just see this building up in him? So you got to understand why the Lord, why on earth would the Lord allow Satan? What was he going after? What was in Peter that he was allowing the enemy to go after? Right? Pride. Pride is the thing that brought the enemy down. Right? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So this pride is just rising up from the washing of the feet. That was his pride, you know? You're not washing my feet. I'm washing your feet, you know? I'm going to prison. I'll die with you. You know, everybody, even though all your friends fail you, I'm never going to fail you. Don't you get that? Okay. And, of course, we know what happens. He fails, right? See that? I'll just read a verse. Luke is probably one of the best. Servant girl says to him, this man was with him, and he denied it. Woman, I do not know him. A little later, another said to him, you're the one of them too. Peter said, man, I'm not. After about an hour passed, another began to insist, certainly this man also is with him, for he is a Galilean too. And Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Another place was talking about that he was actually cursing. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word and how the Lord told him, before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And of course, he went out and wept. Right. So picking up on the story with him, the next time he sees Jesus, Jesus comes into a room after his resurrection. He comes into a room where all the disciples are in John chapter 20. This is where, verse 21, Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Peter was there. Okay? But they didn't have a conversation. Right? Thomas is not there. Jesus comes back again 8 days later. Thomas is there. And he says, Thomas, here, you know, put your hand in my side. So he appears to Thomas. And the next thing you see is that these guys are out fishing in John chapter 21. Jesus is on the beach in verse 5. Children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they said, no. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find a catch. Verse 6 of 21. So they cast. Then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land. It was about 100 yards. They were dragging a net full of fish. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and its fish placed on it in bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish, which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, and gave it to them, the fish likewise. Now it's the third time Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Two times in the room, breathed on them, 8 days later again, to show himself to Thomas, and now here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus and Peter have a discussion. Okay? Jesus said, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Bringing it back to him. Because he had already said how he loved him more than everybody else. Right? How he was more committed to him than everybody was, and how even though everybody else would fail, he wouldn't. And he failed. And he's just saying, can't you say it? "Hey, Peter, do you love me more than these?" You know, that had to just make, not to make him feel terrible, but when he says this, Jesus says, "Do you agape love me more than these? Do you unconditionally love me more than everybody else does?" And then Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But when Peter said love, it's the word a lesser love, a phileo love, not agape. So Jesus, "Hey, Peter, do you love me more than all these, unconditionally? Lord, I love you, but you know it's a lesser love." You see? You see what's happened to him? You know, this humility. "Do you perfectly love me, Peter?" "No, Lord. I do love you, but it's not perfect." He says to him again, verse 16, Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Agape. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Phileo, lesser love. And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time, Jesus is saying, with the lesser love. Right? He's not using the word agape here. Said, "Son, do you love me with a lesser love?" And he said, "Yes." Peter was grieved because he said it to him. He said, "Yes, Lord. You know all things. You know that I love you with a lesser love." And then he said, "Tend my sheep." In other words, the Lord was saying to him, "I know you don't love me perfectly. I've always understood that. Now you need to get it." Right? And even though you can doubt, Peter's mind is probably going back to the foot washing, thinking, "I really need that. I see what you were saying. I need my feet washed because I don't and I can't love you. But I love you with imperfect love." And the Lord received that. Follow me? That's what we were talking about last night. None of us can love God perfectly. Even though God loves us perfectly, the love we give back to Him is imperfect love. Right? Even though we grow in it, we grow in our love for God, and we'll love Him more and more and more, it's an imperfect love. And He knows that. Okay? That'll really help set you free, because the enemy will attack you that you don't love God enough, or you don't love God as much as someone else, or, you know, they love God way more than you. That's the reason, you know, this didn't happen in your life, because you just don't love God. When you do, and He understands that you just are loving Him the best you can. And it's imperfect. And He wants you to get it. He wanted Peter to get that. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you just to admit, Lord, I have imperfect love. Transform Peter's life. Right? You see this guy and the things that he wrote in the book of 1 Peter, he was so encouraging. You know, when he says, tend my sheep, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. Well, when Peter wrote his book there, he was writing it to a bunch of people who were suffering. And he was encouraging them. Right? And one of the greatest encouragers, encouragement that Peter had was John Mark. Remember Bishop talked about that a couple weeks ago in Colossians. John Mark was Barnabas's cousin. Now Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey in Acts. And John Mark went with him. He was Barnabas' cousin. But halfway, he bails on him. He comes back. Right? I don't know what happened. He either got homesick or it was too much for him. He went back. Later on, they're going on another missionary journey. He wants to go. Paul says no. And he and Barnabas get in an argument about it, a heated discussion, and they split. Paul takes Silas. Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go on missionary journeys. Well, in the book of 1 Peter, the very last book, Peter calls John Mark his son. Mark, my son. And actually, John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. It's Peter's version of the Gospel. This guy who blew it. On the first Christian missionary journey, he blew it and bailed. He was known as the guy that you can't trust or take with you because he's going to leave you. Right? Peter takes him in and encourages him. Says, hey, you want to talk about a failure? Let me tell you mine. You know, I blew it with the man. And after all my declarations, I failed. So, isn't that cool? How Peter changed, the guy who was just, you know, jumping out there, and how God used the enemy to humble him. Right? In any attack, you ought to understand, the enemy always plays into God's hand. In any battle or warfare that we go under, there's a place in us that God is trying to get to. Right? Because if the enemy attacks you, he has to have, there's got to be a reason. There's something there. See, it was the sin of pride that Satan was going after. Okay? And I have sin in my life. The enemy can come into that, go after it. But God will use him to get rid of it. Right? What Satan thinks is his greatest victory will also be his greatest defeat. When he entered Judas to take down Jesus, he cooperated in bringing salvation to humanity. He didn't realize he was doing it. He thought that was the greatest victory forever, and it was actually his greatest defeat. Hopefully this encourages you. One, here's one to be encouraged with, that none of us have perfect love, even though we'd like to. But God really, really receives the love that you have for Him as imperfect as it is. And it really blesses His heart for us to say, God, I love you. And you know it's imperfect love, but I do love you. And then He can use you. It's like He did with Peter. Now He said, like, now Peter, now I can use you. And so, he was the guy in the book of Acts after they got filled with the Holy Spirit that led 3,000 souls and then 5,000. 8,000 people he led to Christ. He was a wild man. Because, see, he came like Naomi, you know, in the scripture in the book of Ruth. Naomi went out full and came back empty. Peter was full of himself here, but he came back to the Lord empty. Right? So when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he really got filled because he was empty. Pride was gone. Humility was there. So God can use us more than anything when He just humbles our pride. Right? We empty ourselves to be filled with Him. And then He, more than anyone, other than Paul in the book of Acts, walked in signs and wonders. Amen. 7:17. Do that, right? All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.